This year was originally given the second night of Sukkot, Tovshin Pei Beis, in Congregation Or Torah, Edison, New Jersey. It's being repeated the second night of Chol Moed Sukkot, Tovshin Pei Beis. This year's honor of the yahrzeit of Aharon Shmuel Zanvo ben Yosef Meir, Zichron Levracha, Mr. Samuel Strouch, whose yahrzeit is the second day of Sukkot. The Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Tesom and Aleph, says, what is the halacha of a Sukkah Yeshana, an old Sukkah? Beis Shammai Poslin and Beis Hillel Machshirin. Beis Shammai says no good, Beis Hillel says it is good. What is a Sukkah Yeshana? So the Mishnah says, any Sukkah made more than 30 days before Sukkot, and you didn't say that you're making it for the mitzvah. So the assumption is, if it was more than 30 days, it was not made for the mitzvah of Sukkah, Shalol L'shma, and that's Mechokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Rashi says the implication is, it was made within 30 days of Sukkot, and you didn't say why you're making it. So since it was in 30 days, we can assume it was made for the mitzvah, Stama L'shma, and therefore it was good. Therefore, it's good according to everybody. Then the Mishnah says, if you said explicitly that you're making it for the mitzvah of Sukkah, then it's good even if you made it a year before. So again, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Does the Sukkah need to be made l'shma? Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now, really, this is an issue when it comes to many mitzvahs. Do they need to be made l'shma? Now, let's just clarify. When we say l'shma, we do not mean you're doing the mitzvah, performing the mitzvah l'shma. That's a separate issue of whether mitzvah requires kavanah. Here we're discussing whether when you make, before the mitzvah, zman of the mitzvah, and you're making the chefzesh mitzvah, does that need to be made l'shma? So for example, when you're making matzah, so matzah requires l'shma, so the matzah bakery, when you make the matzah, you say l'shem matzah's mitzvah. Or if you write a sefer Torah, it needs to be made l'shma. If you write tefillin, or even if you adjust the knot of your tefillin, you're supposed to say l'shem kedushas tefillin. So the question is, when you build a sukkah, or more accurately, when you put the schach on the sukkah, does that require l'shma? So Beis Shammai says yes, and Beis Hillel says no, and presumably we'll be passing like Beis Hillel, and you do not need l'shma. Now, the Gemara before this on the Chesam and Beis has a related Gemara. The Gemara says, sukkah's ganvach ksheira. What is ganvach? So it's a Rosh Tevis, which stands for Goyim, Noshim, Behema, Kusim. So let's focus on the first two, Goyim and Noshim. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that a sukkah made by a woman or by a goy is no good because they're not obligated in the mitzvah. The Gemara says, no, the sukkah is good. Provided that you put on the schach for shade. And Rashi explains that even though we can assume these sukkahs were not made l'shma because they're made by somebody not obligated in the mitzvah, that's not a problem, because we pass in like Beis Hillel, you don't need l'shma. However, you have to make the sukkah l'tzeil, because the definition of sukkah, or really the definition of schach, is something that gives shade. So therefore, says Rashi, if you made it for any other reason, such as l'tznias b'yama, you wanted the private area, then according to everybody, the sukkah would be no good. So again, the question is, does the sukkah require to be made l'shma? Mechlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we pass in like Beis Hillel, and you do not need l'shma. Despite this, Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, which says that if you made a sukkah l'shana, a sukkah shlo l'shma, or for that matter, a sukkah made by a guy or a woman not obligated in the mitzvah, tzarech l'chadesh b'dover, you have to do something new. Tosfos has a whole discussion, what exactly does that mean? But practically speaking, it means you pick up the schach ha-tefach, and you put it down l'shem sukkah. So the question is, what is the need, or what is accomplished by picking up the schach ha-tefach? So both the Tur and the Mechaber Paskin, like this Yerushalmi, that if the sukkah is put up shalol l'shma, or done by a woman or by a guy, so you have to pick up the schach ha-tefach. And Beis Yosef on the side of the Tur says that it's ma'akiv yim b'dieved, that if you didn't do it, you didn't pick up the schach, the sukkah is no good. The Mishabura says that's already too far, and really only halacha l'chatchila, but b'dieved, if you didn't do it, it would still be okay. But what we see from here is that there's something, that the reason why you have to pick up the schach is something lacking in the sukkah, something intrinsically wrong with the sukkah, even according to Beis Hillel, something lacking in the l'shma, and therefore you have to pick up the schach. The only question is that l'chatchila or even b'dieved? And let's say from Moedim Uzmanim, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, has a whole different explanation, what is the reason to pick up the schach at tefach. First, he quotes the Shultas. The Shultas is written by Rav Achoy Gon, one of the Gonim, where he says that the mitzvah of sukkah really includes two mitzvahs. The first is the regular mitzvah to sit and eat in the sukkah on sukkahs. And the second, that's learned up from the pasuk of Basukkahs Teishvu Shivas Yomim. And the second, which we'll call the secondary mitzvah, is mitzvah before sukkahs to build the sukkah. And that's learned from the pasuk Chag HaSukkahs Taseh L'cha, and he darshens HaSukkahs Taseh, the mitzvah to build a sukkah. Now, the Netziv wrote a parish on the Shultas called the Hamik She'ela, where he says, this is not just some obscure shita of the Shultas, but he thinks even Rashi holds is a mitzvah to build a sukkah, and he found the Rashi sort of in the middle of nowhere in the Gemara Makos. The halacha is, if somebody kills b'shogeg, so he goes to Ir Miklot. And the Torah gives us an example. What's an example of someone who kills b'shogeg? So you go into a forest to chop wood, and either the axe head flies off and kills somebody, or you're chopping a piece of wood flies off and kills somebody. So in that case, the person goes to Ir Miklat. So the Mishnah Makos asks, why does the Torah give us an example of someone who kills B'shogeg? We can think of our own example. So the Mishnah says, this example teaches a halacha about Ir Miklat. Because since chopping wood is a rishus, it's an optional activity. There's never a mitzvah to chop wood. So therefore, the only time you go to your mikvah is if you kill somebody by doing an optional activity. If you kill somebody by doing a mitzvah, and the Mishnah gives examples, so then you don't go to your mikvah. So the Gemara in Makos asks, what do you mean chopping wood is never a mitzvah? Maybe the guy's chopping wood because he needs his wood for a sukkah. So the Gemara answers, that's not a mitzvah, because the person had wood already. So there's no mitzvah to go out and chop new wood. Use the wood that you have. So even in the case where you don't have any wood, so then you have to chop wood, but you have no choice to chop wood, but it's not a mitzvah to chop the wood. So on that Gemara, Rashi adds three words. Rashi says, chopping wood is not a mitzvah. Ela asiyas hasukkah. So what exactly does that mean? So Netziv says, Rashi's saying, chopping wood is not a mitzvah. That's too far removed. Ella, but what is the mitzvah? Asiyas hasukkah. So the Netziv says, you see from here, the Rashi holds like the Shultz, there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. And the truth of the matter is, you can really read Rashi the exact opposite way. You could say, chopping wood is not a mitzvah. What is it? Ella, all it is asiyas hasukkah, which is also not a mitzvah. So Rashi could be read really both ways, but it's certainly plausible to read Rashi like the Netziv learned, that Rashi holds a mitzvah to build a sukkah like the Shultz. Then the Netziv says that he thinks even Yerushalmi holds is a mitzvah to build a sukkah. The Gemara later on in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav and the Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Beis have an interesting halacha. When you build your sukkah, say a week before Sukkot, at that point, that's when you say your Shechiyanu. And then when you go into your sukkah on Sukkot to eat there, that's when you make Leishay V'sukkah. So the Mechaber says, we do not pass like this Gemara by making the Shechiyanu when you build a sukkah. Rather, you make the Shechiyanu the first night of Yontif when you make Kiddush in the sukkah. And the Mishmura says, really, the Shechiyanu you make the first night of Sukkot is really for two reasons. First of all, the Shechiyanu is for the Yontif. Every Yontif requires a Shechiyanu, a Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And the second reason is for the mitzvah of Sukkah. Every mitzvah you do once a year, you make a bracha, you take lulav the first time, you make a Shechiyanu, you blow shofar, Rosh Hashanah morning, you make a Shechiyanu. So Sukkah requires a Shechiyanu also. So that when you make Shechiyanu the first night of Sukkot, it covers the Yontif and it covers the Sukkah. Now, despite the fact that we don't pass on this Gemara by making Shechiyanu when you build a Sukkah, there's still enough Kamina Halacha L'maisa. Now, when you make Kiddush the first night of Sukkot, what's the order of the brachos? So first you make Kiddush, Mekadesh Shalom Hazmanim, then you make Leish Sheva Sukkah, and then you make the Shechiyanu. Now, why do you do that order? Oh, because since Shechiyanu is made for two reasons. It's made for the mitzvah, for the Yontif, and for the Sukkah. Therefore, first you make Mekadesh Shalom Hazmanim, that's the Yontif. Then you make Leish Sheva Sukkah, that's the Sukkah. And then you make the Shechiyanu, which goes back on both. The question is, what do you do the second night? So both the Mechaber and the Ramah, Paskin like the Rosh, who says the second night you switch the order, you make Shechiyanu, and then Leish Sheva Sukkah. Why is that? And Mr. Baruch explains, what's the reason why you're making Kiddush the second night in the first place? So it's because Yontif Sheni, and we treat it like a Sekut Yom, but maybe the first night wasn't really Yontif, and you weren't Yosei Kiddush, so you have to make Kiddush the second night. And the question is about the Shechiyanu. So the Shechiyanu you make for the Yontif, so if it wasn't Yontif, you weren't Yosei that Shechiyanu either, you make Shechiyanu again the second night. What about the Shechiyanu for the Sukkah? So Mishnah Berurah says, that Shechiyanu Yotze, even if the first night wasn't Yontif. Because the Gemara says, that really can make Shechiyanu even when you build your Sukkah a week before. So certainly you can make Shechiyanu, you know, the night before, and it turns out it wasn't Yontif. So therefore, you Yotze your Shechiyanu the first night, and the second night you only make a Shechiyanu for the Yontif. Therefore, says Mishnah Berurah, if you do Leish Sheva Sukkah, and then Shechiyanu, so Leish Sheva Sukkah would be a hefsek between the Shechiyanu and the Kiddush. Because Shechiyanu, the second night, is only going back on the Yontif. Therefore, first you make Kiddush, Mekadesh Sof Hazmanim, then you make the Shechiyanu going on the Yontif, and at the end you make Leish Sheva Sukkah. And Mishnah Berurah does say there are shittas, there are poskim who say that the second night you don't switch the order, you make Leish Sheva Sukkah and then Shechiyanu, and they're not worried about the issue of the hefsek. This is all with regard to the Shechiyanu. But Tosfos quotes to Yerushalmi, which says that when you build your sukkah, you make a bracha, Shek HaShanah Mitzvot Sivanu, Lasso Sukkah. The bracha making the sukkah. So Netziv says, you see from here, that Yerushalmi also holds the mitzvah to build a sukkah, because why else would you be making a bracha? So based on this, Rav Shturmach and Moana Mizmanim says, that's the reason why Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi, which says, you pick up, when you make a sukkah, Shlol Shema, you pick up the Tzchach HaTefach. Not because there's something wrong with the sukkah. The sukkah is 100% fine. The problem is the person. the person didn't fulfill his mitzvah of building a sukkah. He didn't shlosh shema, or is that by someone not obligated, a woman or a guy. For that reason, the person picks up the schach at tefach. Now, if that's the reason, then for sure it's only l'chatchila, we're not passing the sukkah at all. So it comes out there's two reasons, two ways to learn why Tosfos says you have to, if you make a sukkah shlosh shema, you have to pick up the schach. Either something wrong with the sukkah, with the chefza, sukkah somehow is lacking in the lishma, then the question is that lechatchila or even v'diavad? And the second pshat has nothing to do with the sukkah. The sukkah is fine. Something wrong with the person, with the gavra, has to fulfill the mitzvah of building a sukkah, and that would only be an issue lechatchila. Now, based on this pshat, Sturmbrich wants to explain another psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, let's say a case, a person builds a sukkah, lishma, everything's 100%, but he leaves the sukkah up till the following year. So Mishnah Berurah says, the following year, you have to pick up the schach ha-tefach. Question is why? The sukkah was made l'shma the first time. So Sturmbrich explains, if the reason why you pick up the schach is because something wrong with the sukkah, so in this case, nothing wrong with the sukkah, the sukkah was made l'shma, so there'd be no reason to pick up the schach. But if the reason you pick up the schach is because the person has to fill his mitzvah of building a sukkah, so you fill your mitzvah last year. The second year, there's a new mitzvah to build a sukkah. That's what Mishnah Berurah says, you have to pick up the schach ha-tefach. And the Gemara in Gittin Daf Memhei Amabez quotes the pasuk we're all familiar with from Shema. Ukshartim lo saydecha, that's the mitzvah of tefillin. Ukhsavtim amezuzos beisecha, the mitzvah of mezuzah. And the Gemara makes a drasha. Ukshartim ukhsavtim, kol she yeshno b'kshira, yeshno b'ksiva. Kol she eino b'kshira, eino b'ksiva. Anybody who's obligated or included in the mitzvah of tefillin is eligible to write mezuzah, tefillin, and the Gemara throws in Sefer Torah also. Those three always go together. Anybody not obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin is not able to write Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah. So the Gemara says, therefore, a guy who's not obligated in tefillin or a woman who's not obligated in tefillin cannot write Sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzah. And that's even though a woman is obligated in the mitzvah of mezuzah. So on this Gemara, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says, this is not limited to Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, but really, it applies to other mitzvahs as well. That if any mitzvah, that a mitzvah which a woman is not obligated, she can't create the chefs of some mitzvah. And Rabbeinu Tam gives two examples. First, he says tzitzis. A woman is not obligated in tzitzis, so she can't make the tzitzis, she can't tie the knots for the tzitzis. And second, he quotes the lulav. A woman is not obligated in dalet minim, so she can't tie the eged on the lulav. Now, Tosfos understands Rabbeinu Tam to mean that this is not only in Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, but it applies to all mitzvahs. Any mitzvah, the woman not obligated, she can't create the chefza shel mitzvah. And Rabbeinu Tam gave two examples, tzitzis and lulav. If that's the case, Tosfos says Rabbeinu Tam is against the Perush Gemara. The Gemara we quoted before. The Gemara says sukkah's ganvach is good. Sukkah made by a woman is okay. But wait a second, a woman's not obligated in sukkah. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, she shouldn't be able to make the sukkah. But the Gemara says the Perush says sukkah made by a woman is good. So Tosfos says Rabbeinu Tam is against the Gemara. Because of that, he says this extension of Rabbeinu Tam to other mitzvahs is not correct. And all you have is what the Gemara says. That a woman cannot write and say for Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, because of Xeris HaKosev, Ukshartim, Uchsavtim, but does not apply to any other mitzvah. So the question is, how do you understand this sheet of Rabbeinu Tam? So a number of the Achronim give various pshatim. So the Sefer called Koheles Yaakov, written by the Mishkanes Yaakov, he wants to say that really, not like Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam is not extending it to all mitzvahs, but only mitzvahs which are similar to say for Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. And what's unique about them? Like I mentioned before, they require Lishma. In order to be kosher, you have to write say for Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, Lishma. So the Mishkan Sakov says, it's not that if someone's not obligated in the mitzvah, they can't create the mitzvah. Rather, someone who's not obligated in the mitzvah, he's ain't a Torah, that mitzvah, he cannot create the Lishma, which is necessary to create that mitzvah. So therefore, a woman is not obligated in Sefer Torah and Tefillin. She can't create the Lishma for the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. And where else do we see this principle? So the halacha is that a get has to be written Lishma. Now, despite this, the Mishnah in Gittin says that a cotton who writes a get is okay. So he asks the Gemara, how could a cotton be okay? He's a lav bardas. And Rashi says, a lav bardas, he can't write Lishma. So the answer is, a gadol omer al gabav. You have an adult who's supervising, who's telling him to write Lishma. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, what about a guy? The halacha is if a guy writes a get, it's no good. Even if you have a Yisrael, Omer Agabav, a Jew supervising, telling him to do a Lishma. So what's the difference between a katan and a guy? So the Gemara answers, Akam l'dayte dinafshei ovid. A guy has a mind of his own. So what exactly does that mean? So Rashi explains that a katan, you know, a kid, he doesn't know the difference. Whatever you tell him to do, he'll do. You tell him Lishma, he'll write Lishma. A guy, he's an adult, he has a mind of his own. So Rashi says, Shema hu gomar belibo l'shem achir. Maybe you tell him a Shema, and he's not writing a Shema. There's no way to know. Therefore, since we don't know what the guy's thinking, we can't rely on the guy, and therefore, if the guy writes again, it's no good. So Rashi implies there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the guy. If somehow we knew for a fact that the guy was thinking Lashma, it would be okay. But since we don't know, you know, it's too chancy, we can't rely, he's not reliable, therefore we have to say a guy can't write a get. But it's not halach, it's not din, a guy can't write a get. But Rabbi Chaim Brisker once says that doesn't think the Rambam learned like that. Sometimes the Gemara has a halacha that a mumar dino ka'akum. A mumar, a Jew who converted to another religion, even though he's still considered a Jew, but for certain halachas, he has the status of a guy. For example, if a guy does a shechita, it's no good. So Gemara says, mumar dino ka'akum, a mumar shechita is also no good. So the Rambam says, just like a guy can't write a get, so too, mumar dino ka'akum, a mumar also can't write a get. Shab Chaim says, according to Rashi, the whole problem with a guy is like a psychological issue. We don't know what he's thinking. So how, if it's not halacha, so how can you say mumar dino ka'akum? A mumar is like a guy. If it's not halacha, it's a certain problem with the guy. How can you make an extension to the mumar? Shab Chaim says, we see from here, as the Rambam holds, it's not just a psychological issue, but it's a halacha, it's a din. That even if we knew for a fact that the guy's thinking lishma, it's still no good. Because since the guy is ain't of a Torah skittim kedush, he's not involved in the whole parsha, so you cannot create the lishma necessary to write the get. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Evan Ozel, Mrs. Alma Meltzer, wants to say that not necessarily like Reb Chaim. That just like, you know, when the guy's not reliable, you don't know what he's thinking, so you can say something by the mummer. You don't know what he's thinking. But either way, that's Reb Chaim's part, that since the guy's ain't of a Torah getting the kedushin, he cannot create the lishma. Oh, so perhaps that's what the Mishkan Siakov is saying, Pshat and Rabbeinu Tam. That not just by, that even by a mitzvah, the person's ain't of a Torah style mitzvah, he's not obligating the mitzvah, so he cannot create the lishma necessary to create that chetzah shal mitzvah. Oh, so with that, we can answer Tosfos' question on Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos asks that a woman's not obligated in sukkah, either the Gemara says that she could build a sukkah. So the answer is no problem, because a sukkah, as we said originally, is not required lishma. We pass them like Beis Hillel, you don't need lishma. If you don't need lishma, there's no problem with the woman making the sukkah. And what are the examples Rabbeinu Tam did give? So first he gave tzitzis. Oh, so tzitzis works out very nicely, because the Gemara says that tzitzis requires lishma. A woman's not obligated. We pass the woman's not obligated in tzitzis. This is not grama. So since she's not obligated in the mitzvah, she cannot create the lishma necessary for that to create the mitzvah. Therefore, a woman, and we know that tzitzis requires lishma. You're supposed to say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, even if you're adjusting your knots. So therefore, a woman can't tie the tzitzis. The problem is with the second example of Rabbeinu Tam, when it says lulav, that since a woman is unobligated in dalaminim, she cannot tie the egged of the lulav. Now, there's a few problems. First of all, the Gemara's machlokas, whether you even need an egged in the first place. Gemara's machlokas tanoim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, lulav tzarech egged. And therefore, if without an egged, it's no good. But the Chachamim say, no, lulav ain't tzarech egged, you do not require an egged. L'chatchil, you should do an egged anyway for hiddur mitzvah. But mikra din, you don't need an egged. If that's the case, Hakar Rabbeinu Tam say, a woman's not obligated in lulav, she can't tie the egged. But if no one ties the egged, it's okay. So why should be any problem if a woman ties the egged? And furthermore, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the lulav tzarech egged, who says the egged needs to be l'shma? And so what's Pshat Rabbeinu Tam? And in fact, Magen Avraham Paschal's like Rabbeinu Tam, that a woman should not tie the egged on the lulav. So I heard from my Rebbe of Herschel Schechter that the first thing you have to assume is that according to Yehuda, who says lulav tzarech eged, the eged needs to be lishma, even though it's not clear in the Gemara like that at all. But if you don't assume that, then the whole thing doesn't go off the ground. Okay, but that helps. That's Rabbi Yehuda. What does that have to do with the Chachamim? So the Gemara says according to Yehuda, who requires an eged, so it's not enough to wrap the lulav leaf around and tuck it in. That's not called an eged. Rather, you need kesher agabi kesher, you need a double knot. So Rashi says that since Rabbi Yehuda holds you need kesher agabi kesher for the eged, now when the Chachamim who hold you need an eged l'chatchila, you should also do an eged kesher agabi kesher. So if Shachar says, you see from this Rashi that when the Gemara says according to Chachamim you need an eged for hiddur mitzvah, it's not just hiddur mitzvah; it's a nice thing to do. Rather, anything that Yehuda holds in the eged is ma'akev v'di'eved, is the Chachamim hold you need l'chatchila. Since Rabbi Yehuda holds in a kesher agami kesher is v'di'eved, so the chatchila Chachamim hold you need a kesher agami kesher. In fact, the Mechaber Paskins that you should do a kesher agami kesher, and the Mishnah Berurah says that the lulav holder that we have that's all wrapped together, that's considered the kesher agami kesher. Oh, so based on that, if Shechter wants to say, since we are assuming the court of Yehuda, the eged requires lishma. So according to Yehuda, it's understandable that the woman who's not obligated in Dalaminim can't create the lishma that's needed to create the eged. Oh, so Rabbi Yehuda holds you need lishma with the eved, so the Chachamim will hold you need lishma lechatchila. So lechatchila, at least, a woman shouldn't be able to tie the eged because a woman can't create the lishma. This is all within the pshat of the Mishkanes Yaakov, who says that the Tam Shita is by mitzvahs which require lishma. That if you're not obligated in the mitzvah, you cannot create the lishma necessary to create that mitzvah. Another pshat that's given to explain Rabbeinu Tam is given by the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer wants to be mechalak between a mitzvah and a matir. Now, mitzvah is something you're obligated to do. You have to wear tefillin, you have to shake a lulav, you have to eat matzah. A matir is something you're not obligated to. For example, shchita. There's no mitzvah to walk around to do looking for a shchita. If you want to eat meat, then the Torah tells you how you do it. It's a mitzvah to do a shchita, you make a bracha, fine. So the Avnei Nezer wants to say, the only time a person, you need someone obligated in the mitzvah to create the mitzvah, is something you're obligated to do. But if someone is a matir, and even someone not obligated in the mitzvah could do it, because the objective is just to make sure the job gets done. So, for example, the Gemara says that when it comes to a shechita, so make her a din, a cotton could do a shechita, again, under certain conditions, but make her a din, cotton could do a shechita, even though he's not a bar chiyuva. Oh, so based on that, the Avnei Nezer wants to answer Tosu's question against Rabbeinu Tam. Tosu's asks that a woman is not obligated in sukkah, so according to Rabbeinu Tam, she shouldn't be able to build a sukkah. The Gemara says, beferish, she can build a sukkah. So Avnei Nezer says, no problem, because sukkah is not a mitzvah, sukkah is a matir. What do you mean? There's no mitzvah to eat in the sukkah. If you want to eat during the week of Sukkot, you have to eat in the Sukkot. Just like if you want to eat meat, you have to do a shechita. If you want to eat during the week of Sukkot, you have to eat in the Sukkot. And therefore, since it's only a matir, there's no problem if a woman makes the Sukkot. Now, there's an obvious problem here. This is a sefer called the Orach Meisharim, which was written by Moshe Aaron Pelayoff. I mean, Pelayoff was a Rashiv in YU many years ago. He died in the 60s. And he has analyzes the whole Avnei Nezer, and he says, because that makes sense, the rest of Sukkot. The rest of Sukkot is actually no mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah. If you want to eat, you have to eat in the Sukkah. But the first night for sure is a mitzvah to eat in the Sukkah. We learn that from Pesach. So eating in Sukkah the first night is like tefillin, it's like lulav. So if you tell me that if a woman makes a Sukkah, you can eat in it the rest of Sukkot, that has to help you for the first night. The first night is a mitzvah. So to answer this, someone who put together the Avnei Nezer al HaShas, And he wrote Ha'aris on the Avnei Nezer, and he wants to give the following answer. He says that even the sukkah the first night is not the same as other mitzvahs. Let's say, for example, tefillin. So the mitzvah to wear tefillin, the mitzvah is done with the tefillin. The tefillin is the chetzah shel mitzvah, or the lulav. You do the mitzvah with the lulav is the chetzah shel mitzvah. When it comes to sukkah, though, you don't do the mitzvah with the sukkah. The sukkah is not the chetzah shel mitzvah. You do the mitzvah in the sukkah. In other words, the sukkah is facilitating you to do the mitzvah. But the chetzah shemitzvah is the piece of challah, the piece of bread, the food that you're eating. Oh, so in that sense, the sukkah, even the first night, is really considered a matir. And since the sukkah is a matir, there's no problem for a woman to build a sukkah. So just to prove what we have, we started with the Mishnah, the sukkah yashana, sukkah built shalol l'shma, and machokas mashan v'shillel, whether we pass like v'shillel, you don't need l'shma. We connected that to the gemara about ganvach, a sukkah made by a woman, by a guy, someone not obligated in the mitzvah. We have Tosfos, of course, Yerushalmi, that even in the case where Shlosh Shma, you have to pick up the Schach HaTefach, then there's two pshatim exactly what's the reason for that. Either something wrong with the Lashma, something wrong intrinsically with the Sukkah, the question is that the Chatchila or even with the Eved, then you have Rav Sternbruch, Rav Modim, Uzmanim, there's nothing wrong with the Sukkah, but rather the person has a mitzvah to build a Sukkah, which you accomplish by picking up the Schach, and that's the Din L'Chatchila, and he proves it by quoting the Shultis, who says the two mitzvahs by Sukkah, and the Pshat of the Netziv, the Rashi by Yer Miklat, the Tosfos and the quoting Yerushalmi about the Bracha, and the whole discussion about the Shechianu. And the Gemara Berukshar to Mechsavtem, someone not obligated in tefillin cannot write the Sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah. We have Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says it's not only by Sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah, but applies to other mitzvahs as well. Tosfos question against Rabbeinu Tam from Sukkah, that woman, even though she's not obligated in Sukkah, the Gemara says, before she can still build a Sukkah. So if one Shabbat to Kehelis Yaakov, the Mishkan is Yaakov, that it only applies to mitzvahs which require Lashma, that someone not obligated in the mitzvah cannot create the Lashma necessary to create that Chetzah Shel Mitzvah. And we said that the same idea from Chaim quotes by the Get. And we explained how that applies to tzitzis and lulav, Rav Shachar's pshat, that anything Rabbi Yehuda requires by the Eved, the Chamim required by the Eged, even the Chatchila. Then we have the pshat of the Avnei Nezer, who's mechalik between a mitzvah and a matir, and he says that sukkah is considered a matir. There's no mitzvah to eat in the sukkah. And we have the question by the Pelayoff, the Orach Meisharim, that applies to the rest of sukkahs, but about the first night is certainly a mitzvah. And the answer given by the person who put together who reorganized the Avnei Nezer, that even sukkah the first night is also considered a matir because you don't do the mitzvah with the sukkah, you do the mitzvah in the sukkah. A good niyantiv.